AM 1270, WHLD, Niagara Falls, Buffalo, New York. A Citadel Broadcasting Communications Station, WHLD, AM 1270.
Get older, losing my head, many years from now, will you still be sending me Valentine, birthday greetings, bottle of wine? If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me, will you still feed me when I'm 64?
This is Dr. Rob Stahl bringing you the only call-in radio program exclusively for older adults and caregivers. What should you expect at your age? The answer to that is a lot, and that's what we're here to explain. Today is Monday, June 6, 2005, and welcome to today's show. Today's show is graciously sponsored by Zeddy's Pizza in the University Plaza just north of the UB South campus at Main and Kenmore. Not only do they have terrific pizza, which I know firsthand, but their dinner dishes of chicken, veal, and pasta are unbelievable as well at a great price. I have four great guests and a speaking problem today as well. I have four great guests here ready and willing to take your calls and talk about the topic for today. The number to phone with your questions is 855-6848. Feel free to call anytime during the show. Last month, we discussed how to create a senior-friendly community with Amherst Town Supervisor Susan Grelick and Amherst Town Board candidate Jerry Brownrout. If you missed the show, you can hear it again from the show's website, whatshouldyouexpect.com, all one word except for the dot, along with a lot of web links to other good additional information. The topic for today is senior driving. Should grandpa and grandma or mom and dad still be on the road? I'm happy to have with me four experts on senior driving. The first half of today's show, I want to talk about general issues in senior driving. And I have Dorothy Levitt of the Erie County Department of Senior Services and Wally Smith from the AAA. The second half will address the problem of dementia and driving with Mike Dollard of the Alzheimer's Association and driver testing with a representative from ECMC. So we'll talk with them later. Right now, I'd like to introduce Dorothy. Welcome. And what can you tell me about your background and how you got involved with senior driving?
Thank you, Dr. Stahl. My name is Dorothy Levitt. I am a public health nurse with the Erie County Department of Senior Services, and I do health promotion with seniors, keeping them well and healthy so that they can continue to do the activities that are important to them, one of which, of course, is getting where they want to go safely, and often includes driving. The New York State Office for Aging was fielding a lot of phone calls from caregivers who were concerned about seniors who are having difficulty with driving, and the caregivers were struggling with the issue, so they did surveys of caregivers and distilled the results of those surveys into a very helpful book, When You Are Concerned. But what was missing was access to local resources for family members here in Erie County to address concerns around senior driving. And our major concern is that people get where they want to go safely, and we have pulled together experts in the fields of aging, health, driving, law enforcement to assist families who might have concerns about someone's driving.
We'll get back to how people contact you. I want to introduce Wally Smith of the American Automobile Association. Welcome, and thanks for agreeing to be here. Tell me a little bit about your background and how you became involved with senior driving.
Well, it's our pleasure to be here, Doctor. It's AAA Western Central New York represents over 900,000 member motorists in upstate New York. And one of the things that AAA has been dedicated to over the years is safe mobility. And we have a national initiative that we've embraced through AAA national organizations and all the AAA clubs in the country. Called Lifelong Safe Mobility, which is an initiative to keep seniors mobile for as long as possible. We know that as years go by, there's going to be more and more Americans that are of senior age that will be out on the roads, and the freedom of mobility is so cherished, and our goal in helping is to help seniors stay mobile for as long as possible, and really devise some screening tools that seniors can do, affect legislation on highway safety to help seniors, and also try to have input in alternative transportation options. So as a organization that represents 48 million Americans nationwide, we're very much committed to lifelong safe mobility.
And you've put together some wonderful tools to help seniors drive safely, including a self-assessment CD, a wonderful video as well. We'll talk about that a little bit later. I want to play a short excerpt from an interview I had actually with a patient of mine today. It was hard to find a senior driver that was willing to be interviewed, and I happened to see a patient today who was just that person. And it was a little tight getting things together for the show, but we have her here, and we'll roll track 4. This is Mrs. Gina Ortenzi, wonderful lady, lives up in Niagara Falls, and here are some of her comments. We'll hear from her later as well.
Today, as you know, I'm talking about senior driving on my radio show. What can you tell me about your viewpoints on senior driving? You're driving, you're going to be 80. What do you think? Should seniors be on the road? Should they be retested? How do you feel? Do you feel safe on the road? What situations do you avoid? What situations do you feel comfortable in?
I take, every 2 years I take the course, the AARP course for 55 Alive. And I find that it makes me a little overly cautious. I drive a little bit frightened. And I try to moderate that because fear is not a good thing on the road. But my association with other seniors, others my age that I have either driven with or associated with, I find don't have sufficient fear. They don't anticipate what's ahead. They're not conscious of the reduction in peripheral vision. And these things are very important when we're driving at this age, when we're getting close to 80 years of age.
Okay. She's a very thoughtful lady, a wonderful, spiritual, nice, caring woman. And let's take one thing at a time. The whole issue of fear, and she described two different sides of fear, too much and too little, perhaps. And what comments might you have, Dorothy or Wally?
Well, I would say for her to be very careful and wanting to keep up on her driving skills is admirable. I mean, she understands from the experiences that she's had on driving all these years that our highways can be very dangerous, and that you need to continually assess your skills. And she mentioned AARP's course every 2 years, which is an excellent. Not only do you get your insurance reduced, but it's a great way to keep up on your skills. So I think her approach to it is very good, because she's aware of your driving abilities, because some of your physical abilities go away, deteriorate as you age, and how you compensate for those and how you plan strategies to address those is very critical, and I think she has seen that.
And it seems that being in touch with your emotions is helpful to know whether you're as safe as you can be on the road. If you're beginning to feel fear, then that might be a tip-off that things aren't as good as they can be. Dorothy?
I think one of the great challenges is to have a sense of how one's driving is going. And it's also it's a challenge for family members. It's also a challenge for physicians, for law enforcement. What we recommend is we have a checklist of driving safety behaviors. And if some of those are starting to show up in driving, for example, not obeying stop signs or traffic lights or yielding the right of way, those kinds of, or damage, crash damage incidents, actual incidents, those can indicate that there's a problem developing or existing. And we always, what we do when people call in with these kinds of concerns is recommend that the person explore perhaps having a driving evaluation done. And we're lucky in this area. We have two driving evaluation programs. Lisa will be talking in the latter half of the program about the work at ECMC, and there's also another one at DeGraff Hospital. So we are lucky in that regard. And there are also driving schools where people can go to take lessons or get some additional ideas on how they're actually doing on the road.
Who typically calls you, Dorothy?
We field phone calls at Erie County Senior Services. Our Information and Assistance Unit fields calls in all areas of concern regarding services for seniors. Our Older Driver Family Assistance Help Network uses the same phone number, and folks can call in. We get calls from senior drivers. We get calls a lot of times from concerned family members. We've gotten calls from professionals, including physicians. We've gotten calls from neighbors. So anyone who has concerns and is even just wondering if they should be concerned, we can often help lead them through some questions and to get some idea if they should pursue action or things they could do, even something as simple as getting in the car with the person and actually taking a ride with them to find out how the driving is going.
And the phone number for that is 858-8526, 858-8526. I'll repeat that later on as well in the recap at the end of the show. But that's to be put in contact with the Erie County Department of Senior Services, and it's called the Older Driver Family Assistance Help Network. Wally, the issue of fear, I want to come back to that a little bit. What do you see? Do people that come into AAA express fear, or how do you address that particular issue?
Well, we, in our six-hour point and insurance reduction program, similar to AARP's, we see a number of mature operators in there, and they are truly concerned about the amount of vehicles out in the road and the challenges they have trying to navigate through these things. And I would say, I don't know if I'd term it as fear, but there's a lot of concern. And some seniors will arbitrarily just say, you know, I'm not going to drive at night, or I try to stay away from rush hour traffic. And, you know, that once again, going back to the strategies they need to employ just to be safe. Conversely, we don't see a lot of fear with our novice driver programs that we run. With the teens. That's one of the problems that they have, that they don't have the fear. So, you know, one end of the spectrum, the other, the fear factor or being careful or being concerned of what's out in the highways is something that seniors are, you know, they're concerned about. It's a real thing.
Well, 2 years ago, I almost didn't make my 46th birthday when an older driver went through a stop sign and T-boned me, and we both ended up in the emergency room just for evaluation. We were both discharged, and we were in there at the same time, and I can hear someone saying, they told me I went through a red light, but I don't think so. And then just the other day, last week, a young driver, probably 18, 19 years old, came out from a side street, sideswiped an older driver who was pushed into an oncoming lane in which I was traveling, and a witness and the older driver said, boy, you should race NASCAR because you're pretty good at negotiating tight situations. So luckily no one got hurt, but and even in the more serious accident with the T-bone, really at full speed coming down Maple Road, there are issues on both ends of the spectrum of drivers, and those are the high risk populations, I believe, the most accidents, the most morbidity, people getting hurt, and the most mortality, also people getting killed in accidents.
Yeah, and a lot of the common mistakes that we see when with senior drivers, and this is an indicator, maybe probably Dorothy hears a lot of this, is things like failure to yield right away. That's if you see that happen, that's a common mistake for a senior driver. Improper left turns. Left turns are hard anyway, and we've advocated in traffic safety engineering that there's there should be left-hand turn lanes installed, and you see that with some of the expansions around Western New York and some of the heavily trafficked roads like Transit Road, and they are putting the left-hand turn lanes. Another thing to look out for is confusion and heavy traffic. You see some seniors having some problems with that. Inattention is another one. And inattention could be for anybody, because we could do a whole program on distracted driving for everybody.
Well, with cell phones and right. things like that.
And now we're putting maps in the cars, you know, the onboard navigation
That's
system,
right.
which is another distractor. And complications with backing up causes, you know, if you notice that with a senior, or if you're a senior having that, that's an indicator of some problems. Failure to maintain a proper speed is another indicator. And hesitate in responding to new traffic signs. Traffic signs are a big thing that we've lobbied the government with the traffic engineering, that the signs have to be of good size, and they have to be of reflective material, because as we all know, the nighttime driving is a problem because of the vision. As we age, we start to get over 40, your vision starts to deteriorate, and a person at 60 years old needs three times more light to see something than a 16-year-old would. So vision is a very big deal, obviously. So
night vision.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I agree with that. And the video points out a way to take care of left-hand turns is you make three right-hand turns instead. Another thing that I do when it's really tough making a left-hand turn at a particular intersection, you just go forward a ways until you see a clearer area. You can make a left-hand turn into an easier place to get into, and then you just come out of there and you make a right-hand turn. So that's another way to get around a left-hand turn at a difficult intersection. Dorothy, can you give us an example of someone that called and what happened, what transpired?
Well, we had a call from some folks who were concerned about a driver, and it was very interesting what happened. She had been involved in a couple of driving incidents, and the organization's insurance rates were going to go up. So they asked her if she'd be willing to have a driving evaluation done. And she was in agreement, and she went and I asked if she would, and she called me directly also, and she agreed to go for a driving evaluation, and I asked her if she would be willing to call us back and let us know how she made out. And what they found when she went for the evaluation is that she was taking a medication that affected her reaction time. And a call was made to her physician, and the medication was changed, and she was able to continue driving safely. So that's an example of someone who got some objective feedback that was very helpful, and they were able to successfully proceed.
And that's someone being mature about it, being aware of themselves, and taking an adult approach to the situation.
It does require some degree of courageousness to be willing to accept feedback about one's driving skills. And so, you know, she's an excellent example of somebody who was responsible about her driving.
I recently went to a driver safety class also to get reduction in my premium. I went with my two boys, twin boys, 16 years old, who are still learning drivers. And it was a great paradigm, a great method, and that sticks with me as I drive, and that's to think about the mentality of how you're driving. Do you have a childish attitude where someone does something and you just curse them out? Do you have a parental approach to driving where you're driving along but you tell everyone else how they should have driven because they made a perceived mistake? Or do you have an adult approach to driving where you're driving along, you're observing everything, you're identifying potentially dangerous situations, and you see someone might be in a rush and want to cut in. So instead of saying they shouldn't cut in, they should wait, you just slow down, you let them in, and you go on your way and give them the benefit of the doubt of what they're doing. I found that tremendous. The medication issues are brought out in the videotape very well. certain classes of medications, antidepressants, anti-anxiety pills, pain medications, allergy and cold remedies, and sleeping pills are all the high-risk medications. And also any new medication that you're on can cause changes that could affect your driving until you get used to it. So, and that includes over-the-counter medications. It doesn't mean just medications prescribed by a doctor. In a way, the over-the-counter medications can cause more problems. Certainly, the cold remedies have medications that can cause dizziness, that can cause sedation, and I've spoken about Tylenol PM in the past, a sleeping pill that contains an antihistamine that can cause drowsiness, dizziness, confusion, and et cetera.
Yeah, the older, wiser driver that you mentioned, Doctor, the vision is one thing that people have to pay attention to, but medication is another that you just mentioned. I actually had an instance with my father, who's very elderly, and he had a fall, and he was taking, very good driver, by the way, 88 years old, but he was taking medication, codeine, for mm-hmm. pain, and we had to say, you really shouldn't be driving if you take that, and so he respected that, but people have to be very careful.
Yeah, and most medications have warnings, mm-hmm. you know, be careful when driving, but it doesn't say you can't drive.
Right,
there's
exactly.
No absolute prohibition, so it really becomes a matter of personal responsibility and education, awareness. The AAA video also goes through what they call the SIPTI way of remembering what you're doing when you're driving, and I find it hard to remember SIPTI myself, but basically it involves two actual physical things that you do and three mental things. SIPTI, S-I-P-D-E, scan, you scan the road, then you identify, that's the I, to identify potential problems, you predict what other people are going to do, what your car is going to do in a given situation. You decide. You decide what you need to do to avoid an accident, and then you execute. So, you know, that might be a useful way also for people to remember the specific steps as they drive in how to really get your thought process involved in the driving. And you mentioned distractions, I believe, mm-hmm. and why don't you go through the myriad of distractions that we have nowadays, and that distraction takes away from the mental focus on the actual driving process.
Yeah, and prior to that, I just wanted to mention you're going through the evaluating the road ahead of you and all that, the scanning. Well, the mature driver has a lot of experience behind them, so they really can look at it and scan risks and recognize risks a lot better than a novice driver. That's one of the problems a novice driver has. I know the show isn't about novice drivers, but once again, to compare, they don't have the experience to really say, they don't have the experience to say to themselves, okay, that's a bad situation, I need to back off or I need to do something different. They don't have the experience, a mature operator does. So they can leverage that, but knowing the limitations they may have as a senior, you know, they have to do that. And, you know, they sometimes stay out of problems because of the experience. So that's very good. But distractions, yeah, we all know the cell phone. that's like the probably the biggest thing members tell us that they don't like as far as seeing other people on cell phones, it seems like. But you have eating, drinking, smoking, checking your onboard navigation, kids in the car, pets in the car, you name it. It's just looking out the window at things that you might find entertaining. There's almost no end to the distractions in the car. And, you know, it's legal to talk on a cell phone in this state if you have a hands-free device. And we had a little problem with that as an organization when that law was coming to surface, because it really isn't the hand-holding of the cell phone that's a distraction. It's the intellectual distraction of the conversation you're having. So, you know, the law was passed, and it is there. And we always say that, anyway, if you're going to make the cell phone call, get off the road. I mean, if you can, pull over and make the call. But we know that, just for convenience, a lot of people don't do that. But just concentrate on what you're doing. You know, if you're talking on the last thing you need in a conversation on a cell phone when you're driving is something that's an emotional conversation or something that, let's say, something in business that's very important. obviously, those type of things cause even more problems. But the distractions are nonstop.
Well, the video brought up even someone talking to you in the car.
And radio, CD.
Yeah, the radio, you know, and a lot of people turn to look at the, you know, it's a common courtesy to look at a person that you're speaking with, and they carry that over into the car. Wally, why don't you talk about the new CD that's come out where people can evaluate themselves? I did that today. You gave it to me this morning, and I rushed home in preparation for the show, and I won't tell anyone my score, and the CD makes a point that that's confidential, but
right. But
I did pretty well. I'll just admit what happened. There were three objects that were named, and because of getting together the radio show and a million things going on this morning, I forgot one of those three things by the time I had to remember it. But all the other tests went pretty well for me. So why don't you just briefly go through that, and I'd really encourage it, because it's the only thing I've seen that someone can do at home to really give them a handle on the physical aspects of driving and whether they're up to the task.
Yeah, with AAA's Safe Senior Mobility Initiative, Lifelong Safe Mobility, the computer-based evaluation tool you talked about called Roadwise Review was developed by AAA. It was launched probably, I'm thinking about 6 months ago, and it got a lot of national attention, and it is a CD, and you do need a computer to do it, and you also should have a partner with you when you do it. And it's really a tool to help seniors drive safely. And the abilities that are screened, I'll just list them here. Leg strength and general mobility, head-neck flexibility, high contrast visual acuity, low contrast visual acuity, visualizing missing information, visual information processing speed, visual search, and the last one being working memory. So you can see that all these things go back to that driving is a physical activity. There's no doubt about it, and there's certain things that as you age deteriorate physically, so you have to really compensate for that. And this tool is just to help people get an idea where they're at, and I think it can be a great tool for the decision if a person is going to continue in the car, or what they need to really compensate for when they're driving.
It does give information. There are boxes you can click on that tells you the result of your test, where you are compared to an average person, and some tips on what you can do or what you should pursue to enhance that skill. While we're with you, can you give me the phone number to contact with regard to driving improvement, driving safety?
633-9860.
9860. So 633-9860. That's for AAA of Western New York to look into driver safety issues. Now I want to play another clip from my patient, Mrs. Ortenzi. That's track 5, Jimmy, and we'll see what she has to say about her strengths in driving.
Every 2 years, I take the course, the AARP course for 55 Alive. And I find that it makes me a little overly cautious. I drive a little bit frightened. And I try to moderate that because fear is not a good thing on the road. But my association with other seniors, others my age, that I have either driven with or associated with, I find don't have sufficient fear. They don't anticipate what's ahead. They're not conscious of the reduction in peripheral vision. And these things are very important when we're driving at this age, when we're getting close to 80 years of age.
Okay, I think you heard that already, but it's worth hearing again. Gina Ortenzi is, I think, a model of what a senior driver is doing and watches out for as she continues in her driving career. We're going to break now, and I want to thank Mr. Wally Smith of the AAA of Western New York and Mrs. Dorothy Levitt. Any final comments that you want to make information, resources, et cetera, that everyone should know?
I just like to reiterate that anyone who's concerned about a driver, especially an older driver, and is wondering if their concern is warranted and what steps they should consider taking, they're all welcome to call our phone number at Senior Services. It's 858-8526, as well as checking our website. We do have a website that has a PowerPoint presentation on it and links to all of our Help Network members, so if folks would like to explore that.
And I look through that, and there's some tremendous information there.
Right. We're happy to send out an information packet to those who call with a lot of very helpful
information.
And
what's that website?
The website is www.erie.gov/driving.
Okay, that's easy enough. And Wally?
Yeah, I first want to say that Dorothy's organization, the Help Network, is tremendous, and we're part of that at AAA, and they really have a real dedication to helping seniors stay mobile, so they're a great resource. And we gave the number for AAA. Ask for Public Affairs Department, and we can get you in touch with any tools to help you stay yourself stay safer longer. There's a AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety that's dedicated to senior drivers, and it's simply seniordrivers.org, www.seniordrivers.org. It's a tremendous resource for senior drivers. So.
Well, thank you both once again.
Our
it's
pleasure,
great
Dr.
having you here.
Thank you, Dr. Stahl.
And we'll take a little break and be right back for the second half of the show.
It's the little old lady from Pasadena. The little old lady from Pasadena has a pretty little flower bed of white gardenias. But parked in a rickety old garage is a brand new shiny red super stock Dodge. And everybody's saying that there's nobody meaner than the little old lady from Pasadena. She's the terror of Colorado Boulevard. You see her on the street, don't try to choose her. You might drive a goer, but you'll never lose her. Well, she's gonna get a ticket now, sooner or later, 'cause she can't keep her foot off the accelerator. And everybody's saying that there's nobody meaner than the little old lady from Pasadena. She's the terror of Colorado Boulevard.
It's the little old lady from Pasadena.
The guys come to race her from miles around, but she'll give them a lick, then she'll shut them down. Everybody's saying that there's nobody meaner than the little old lady from Pasadena. She's the terror of Colorado Boulevard.
It's the little old lady from Pasadena.
Hello, this is Dr. Rob Stahl back with What Should You Expect at Your Age? We're talking about senior driving with four experts in the area today. We heard from Wally Smith and Dorothy Levitt in the first half of the show from the AAA of Western New York and the Erie County Department of Senior Services, respectively. I want to remind everyone that the phone number to call in your questions is 855-6848. We'd love to have your calls. I do want to repeat again that this show is kindly sponsored by Zetti's Pizza, a wonderful pizza place, but more than a pizza place. It's an Italian restaurant in the University Plaza, just north of the UB South campus at Main and Kenmore. and they have tremendous dinner dishes, and they're able to accommodate luncheon or dinner parties up to 30 or more. And I just want to read from their menu some of the dishes. They're just fantastic. There's chicken franchise, there's veal masala, there's the old standby, fettuccine alfredo, there's cavatelli sole, farfalla verdura as a pasta dish. It's really tremendous food. The owner, John, is John Fusco, is a native New Yorker who really knows Italian food. And the pizza is New York style for all those New Yorkers, that native New York Cityites that have come up here to Buffalo to live. And if you want a real New York City pizza, head out there. So thank you again, John, for sponsoring the show. Everyone try to get out to Zetti's Pizza and Pasta, University Plaza. If you have any questions or want to set up a luncheon or dinner, 831-8000 is the number, and they also deliver. So I'm with the show, and we have with us, and I might get her name right finally, it's Lisa Thorpe of Erie County Medical Center, the Rehabilitation Therapy Department. We have Mike Dollard of the Alzheimer's Association, and we're going to add to what I was talking about with my guests earlier and focus a little bit on the issues of memory problems and dementia, and then actually what can be done to evaluate a senior that might be having troubles driving. And does that mean do most fail the test, or are there ways, if they do have problems on the test, to get them back on the road safely? So welcome, Lisa. I'll start ladies first, and why don't you tell me a little bit about your background and what you're doing right now.
Thank you for having me on the show. I'm a driver rehab specialist at the Erie County Medical Center.
We're just adjusting microphones here so Lisa comes through loud and clear. There we go.
What our role is when a person's starting to have issues related to driving as it relates to advanced age. So if they're having some changes in their vision or their reaction time or their motion, and it's starting to negatively impact themselves on the road, or they're just starting to get very nervous about it, they can come in for an evaluation. What we do is it's about a two-hour evaluation, and in the clinic we're looking at their motor skills, visual skills, because that's 90% of driving, their thinking skills, and their reaction time. And vision also accounts for night vision also. We're going to take a look at that. So all these objective measures, medications, past medical history, etc., find out all their strengths and weaknesses, then we place them in the vehicle on a predetermined course and keep advancing the driving situation and see how they do, including the expressway. And then we come back to ECMC and we discuss how they did. There are a lot of ways to keep seniors on the road driving safely. It's not, if I come, I'm going to pass or fail. And one of your callers or one of your patients talked about peripheral vision. That's a common thing that will change as your age advances. Same with night vision. So it might simply be to say you can't handle glare well, use a yellow lens at night. Or maybe you can't see in your periphery because your neck range of motion is poor and you can't turn your head. Maybe a panoramic mirror. So there's many ways to stay on the road before you have to retire from driving.
Well, we'll get into the details. I want to hear some of the details about the program and the assessment. I just want to define objective measures means measures that you can get a number that you're able to compare it to what might be normal or abnormal. So it's not just someone saying, well, you look safe or you look like you're a hazard to the road. It's actually a number and on different measures that really define whether you are a safe driver or might be having problems.
Correct.
Mike, the issues of dementia. You're with the Alzheimer's Association. Why don't you talk about a little bit about your background and what you're currently doing at the Alzheimer's Association.
I am a CHES certified health educator with the Alzheimer's Association. I work, I do a number of things for the association. We work with families that are caregivers for someone with dementia, not always Alzheimer's disease related dementias. We work with the caregivers, professional and family members. We try to give people a plan when they get a diagnosis of Alzheimer's, or we try to get people to to go through the process of getting a diagnosis of Alzheimer's, because it's a difficult road to go down for people. So,
okay, that's a little bit of background. Now let's get into some details. Why don't I play the last excerpt I have from Mrs. Ortenzi, Gina, and that's track 6, Jimmy.
Oh, definitely. I think it's very important. I would say even at age 70 that we should have another driving test. In fact, I'm going to make an appointment for a driving lesson.
Huh.
Because I feel that the teachers that teach driving would be very aware of what I'm doing and what mistakes I might be making.
So you're doing everything you can, really, to make sure you're the best driver you can be.
I'm trying, yes.
Well, another credit to this lady, that she's actually going to take a driving lesson to make sure that she's doing the best she can do on the road. Any comments about that?
I think it's wonderful to hear someone that is elderly taking an active and proactive role in their driving.
How often do you see that, actually?
It's rare. From my point of view,
I'm going to tell you that I do a lot of senior drivers, and it's not as rare as you think. People really know how to self-limit, and they come into a driver evaluation self-limiting already. They know when they're getting nervous, when it's a big concern, or when it's a small concern. They know how to compensate, and generally I'm reassuring them that they're on the right track. And one comment about what she said, she's quite insightful, is that age is not a good predictor of driving performance. We never use age as a measure in how well a patient will drive, because all those objective measures is just data. You need to see how they do in the act of driving. And a 65-year-old person may be having a lot of problems, but an 80-year-old person may be doing just fine on the road and self-limiting well, too. So I think there's more insight than we give credit.
I talked to Wally a little bit about that at his office earlier, and he also said that the AAA as an organization takes the stand that age really is not a determinant, that there should not be an age cutoff or an age requirement to go in for another driving assessment. I know there's a lot of controversy, and a lot of people feel strongly the other way. And I believe Canada actually does have a mandatory reassessment at a certain age. Any comments on that, the whole issue of mandatory reassessment of driving skills at a particular age, let's say 75 years of age?
I think there's other ways that you can screen folks to see if they're having problems with driving, through your primary care physician, families observing driving, neighbors, friends, rather than doing a mandatory driving assessment at a certain age. The cost to that may not give the result that we're looking for.
Or should a mandatory reassessment for anyone found at fault in an accident, is that an approach? There's a lot of different ways, but I think you two represent some sensible educational approaches that people are seeking out. I think as a doctor, I get the situations where families might be frantic that their loved one is still driving and they can't take the keys away. So how do we deal with that? Mike, why don't we start with you, from someone who has memory problems, and let's just say it's a dementia that is Alzheimer's disease. How many people that realize they're starting to have memory problems willingly give up their keys? How many have to be forced into it?
Well, to give you an actual number would be difficult, but I think what Lisa said is absolutely right. As people get older, they tend to limit themselves according to their ability. A lot of seniors that I do programs for in the evening, for example, I try not to schedule things in the evening, because it's difficult for them to get out at night oftentimes, and they're more likely to stay home, so I'll schedule things in the afternoon. But for someone with memory impairment early on, their driving abilities might be just fine. They know there's a problem. They know the family needs to get involved early on. That's the best intervention, to let mom or dad or a loved one know that driving is going to become an issue, and certainly to address it early and not wait till it becomes a problem, or not wait till there's a tragedy of some sort. Taking the keys away is usually a last resort, disabling the car kind of thing. That's usually a last resort. Trying to get involved early, maybe getting a physician's intervention. Oftentimes it's difficult for the family to approach mom or dad with an issue of driving, but a trusted friend, a clergy member, things like that often work well.
What I try to do for when there's an issue, I try to refer to a program like Lisa's to as an intermediate step. And I say, look, I really think you shouldn't start driving again. And often they're not driving after a hospitalization because of whatever issue. And also there's the sense that they shouldn't be on the road from a spouse generally. And so to keep peace, intermediate program. And I say, if you speak, then I have no problem with, allowing you to continue on the road. But right now, the way your health is, and it doesn't necessarily have to be dementia. It could be severe breathing problems. It could be a stroke where there's physical limitations in just controlling the controls on the car. After that, I'm happy to give the yay or nay depending upon what the information comes back from Lisa's program or DeGraff's program. How many referrals do you get like that, and how does that usually play out, Lisa?
We get many. The biggest volume of patients growing for us is our older drivers, and it's not because they have a diagnosis of stroke. It's because there's changes due to age. And it could be any number of changes or combined with other medical problems. So one of my roles at ECMC is to get out to physicians, geriatricians, primary care doctors, social workers, and say, put the burden on me. Allow me to be that third party to objectively assess this so that your rapport with the patient stays the same. And then it's the end of that discussion in the office. My other goal is to get physicians to talk about it routinely. It should be part of everything that when you interview your patient and you ask them about their health and well-being, are you still driving? Are you still driving safely? So I would love every physician to be able to say that comfortably in their office.
Well, I'm glad I'm doing the right thing. I sometimes wondered if I was going to get the angry call from ECMC, that why are you sending me all these people? But I guess I'm doing the right thing. And other subtle issues that we often don't talk about and that happen with other drivers that cause accidents is drowsiness, just tiredness, fatigue. We've talked about sleep apnea a couple of shows ago that can cause tiredness during the day, medication certainly, and just general exertion. So there's those sorts of issues. And also alcohol. We didn't get to talk more about alcohol in the first half of the show, but certainly alcohol-related accidents are common in the older population as well as they are generally. Anyone want to comment on those issues?
Generally speaking, that's not something we're evaluating a history in our interview process. If we find out that's an issue, then maybe we can go back to the physician and have them discuss that with them. Where it also becomes a problem is when there's some dementia and alcohol issues. That's a hard combination.
We've seen that a couple of times with a family member that they get a diagnosis of dementia and then turn to alcohol, and it's difficult. It's a very difficult topic at that point to approach and to try and correct.
Let me get the contact numbers before we run out of time. I want to make sure we get the contact numbers in so everyone knows who to call and what number to call. Lisa, you go first.
Okay. For a driver evaluation at ECMC, the number is 898-3235.
And our number at the association is 626-0600.
Okay, and I'll put all of these phone numbers up on the website along with the recording of this show. It should be up there within a week or so. And if anyone wants a copy of the CD as well, I can put it on CD for you, and so you can share it with your friends. And hopefully there's information here that might help and help prevent an accident. Now, Lisa, let's go through exactly what happens, specific steps. Someone calls and says, I don't feel like I'm driving that safely. Can I come in for an evaluation? What happens from there?
Okay, we set them up for an appointment, usually maybe 1 to 2 weeks out. We ask them to bring a list of medications, and if they had a visual exam recently, that would be a helpful tool also. When they come in, a lot of patient interview first. How are you driving? Where do you like to drive? If they say, I never drive the expressway, we are not going to test on the expressway. And then we go through the full systems of the body, motor system, how well they can move, reaction time, coordination, visual system, acuity, depth perception, night vision, thinking skills, and reaction time. And again, it's objective data, but not any one of these tools a good predictor of driving. So you put them all together, you place them in the vehicle, you start in a closed course, you are driving an ECMC's vehicle, and then we move to a residential driving situation, commercial, and then expressway, and then back to ECMC. The person will leave knowing how they did. It's not something, well, I'm going to tell your doctor. You will know before you leave how you performed on the test.
And what are the things you might tell someone?
It may be you're driving just fine and your family needs to worry a little bit less about you and give you some space. It may be, you know, your night vision is not so great, so let's take you off night driving, and we tell them how to do that appropriately through the DMV, daytime driving only. Let's say the reaction time slowing, and we put them on the expressway, the judgment, reaction time, getting in and out of traffic wasn't so good, then maybe we take expressway driving away. I make recommendations, I inform the physician, and then the whole process after that could be a whole show in and of itself. The DMV regs and New York State being a permissive reporting state and the liability. But we make sure the patient is aware on how to go through all the steps appropriately.
So you don't report anyone to the DMV?
No, we try to maintain patient confidentiality at all times.
So your report would go back
to the physician, referring source.
And then it would be in the physician's hands to take formal action if the person's felt to be an imminent threat.
Correct.
Okay. Mike, what's the process? Someone comes to the Alzheimer's Association. Driving's an issue. What steps do you take there?
One of the things we try and do first and foremost is to make sure that the family members are all on the same page. One of the things we hate to see is that, and we've heard it time and time again, is you know, the kids live out of town, mom and dad aren't driving well, you know, maybe it's the family will come in, they'll take the keys, they'll sell the car, and they'll leave town again. So mom and dad are left here without a vehicle. And it happens, unfortunately it happens. So we try and get the family to work together to address the issue as a safety issue, both for mom and dad and for people that are out on the road also.
What about the person that you try to talk to rationally about why they shouldn't be on the road and they just seem not to be able to get it? Would that be an indicator of a cognitive problem, a thinking problem that would prohibit them from being able to understand in a rational manner why and why not they can be on the road? And that, where does the Alzheimer's Association take it from there? Do they refer back to the doctor? Would they recommend a driving evaluation program? How do you deal with that kind of person who just can't understand the pros and cons of them driving?
Like I said, it is difficult sometimes for early on. The early intervention is the best, but we often refer to programs like Lisa's and to take the family back to the physicians and try and get a complete picture and involvement from all sources. Oftentimes, the person that has dementia, you want to take, they're losing their independence bit by bit by the process of the disease, and what we're trying, it's something that's going to happen. They're going to lose their ability to drive over time, but we're trying to maintain their dignity even though they're losing that independence piece of driving. And it's important to have a plan in effect and not just come in and, you know, strip them of that independence without having anything in place, without any kind of resource for them to get from place to place, either involving family again or friends, or make sure that mom and dad have a ride to get where they need to go.
Right. How available are alternative sources of transportation, and how willing are people to utilize them?
In this community, it is tough to use alternative transportation options. If a patient can no longer drive, and that is our recommendation, that they should give up the keys, we don't leave them right there like that. We provide them with as much written information as we can on senior driving services, van services, alternative transportation. Not easy to access. So one of the things when I talk to senior groups I do is start thinking about your driving plan prior to ever having to become the passenger, if that should be the case. And try out a taxi, try out a van, while you're still a driver. So when you have to transition, it's not so difficult to do. This way they have the control of their driving plan rather than somebody else or their son or daughter telling them what they're going to do. Dementia and Alzheimer's is the most difficult, is the hardest for driving. There's not insight there to say, I understand why I should give up the keys.
And that person today might be willing to do that, and tomorrow not understand why they may have agreed to it or not.
Yeah, and that is the most difficult situation. But I think, you know, we need to have the things in place, like Alzheimer's Association being aware that this is an issue, evaluation programs and the other resources, AAA and Senior Services, AARP, we need to have those resources in place that are able to take a stand on it, to help people where they can be helped to keep their skills up. And we unfortunately, there are situations where people might forcibly have to have their permission or rights to driving taken away because it poses a danger not only to others but to themselves. Well, this has been very interesting. One thought about alternative transportation that I've had is whether you can pool the money that represents the car that someone has and pool the insurance money that would have been paid every year and put that into some kind of foundation for senior transportation, and whether that foundation could be built to an extent where just the annual interest of the principal that's in the foundation might be enough to provide good alternative transportation for people that either don't want to be on a road or shouldn't be on the road. And I don't know if there are any models anywhere across the country that really have put together an effort like that, that a community agrees to try. And my sense is that there might be a lot of money there, and in addition to donations that families might be willing to make to have such a service provided to people. Any thoughts on that? Is it worth pursuing, and how do we pursue something like that?
I think that's an excellent idea. One of the things I go through with my patients if they have to retire from driving is a mental worksheet on the cost of their car, their lease payment, gas, licensure, registration. It's a lot of money, and I tell them you can put that in the bank and have a lot of taxi cab rides with that money. So on an individual level, we're doing that, but I never really thought about it in on a grander scheme.
Yeah, I would think of it not just the yellow cab company, but you know, to have the senior limo service where they really get treated right, and a limo pulls up to their place and takes them wherever they want to go. I know just taking a cab from the bus station to to the suburbs costs about $30 each way. It's expensive, so. You know, if you want to revitalize the city from the suburbs and people need to take a cab, people aren't going to do that. But perhaps an alternative approach might be a way to tackle it. Well, I guess we have to talk with the politicians.
That's
and
right.
Talk to some foundations and get some families and patients that might have an interest and get them together and try it, and some limo service and get them together and try it. Any final comments? We have about 20 seconds or so.
I would just leave with the final comment of age is not a good predictor of driving performance. It's the act of driving.
Yeah, and that goes along with my basic philosophy towards geriatric care. It's, the 95-year-old with pain in the left knee and not in the right. And, the pain in the left knee can't only be because the person's 95, because it'd be pain in the right knee as well.
I would just like to mention a program that the Alzheimer's Association has called the Safe Return Program, and it's an identification program that really works for folks that are driving and for folks that have a tendency to wander, and it's an identification program that brings people home safely, and it's really a great tool to have.
I have your phone numbers. Any websites to get more information about the programs, Lisa?
ECMC's general website.
Okay. And that's ECMC... .edu?
Correct.
Right. Okay. And Alzheimer's Association?
Ours is www.alzwny.org.
Okay. Now I'll go through all the contact numbers of everyone. Dorothy Levitt, Erie County Department of Senior Services, www.erie.gov/driving, 858-8526. The Automobile Association, Wally Smith, 633-9860, and that's seniordrivers.org, I believe he said. The Alzheimer's Association, 626-0600, alzwny.org, and Erie County Medical Center, 898-3235, ecmc.edu. Once again, I'd like to thank my sponsors, Zeddy's Pizza and Pasta at University Plaza, for all the great food they put together. I'd highly recommend you get over there and try it out. You'll be quite pleased, and it's a great price, a lot of food, and great food. So try them out, University Plaza, just north of UB South Campus. Thanks to my guests, Lisa Thorpe, ECMC, Mike Dollard, Alzheimer's Association of Western New York, Wally Smith from AAA, and Dorothy Levitt from Erie County Department of Senior Services. And thanks a lot to Gina Ortenzi, my patient, who spoke to me today and gave some tremendous insight into her approach to driving. I think it's a great one. So thanks for listening. I'll see you next month with more What Should You Expect at Your Age?
I get older, losing my head, many years from now. Will you still be sending me a valentine, birthday greetings, bottle of wine? If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me, will you still feed me when I'm 64?